Hello again there, folks. So I noticed that the issue of grooming gangs was back in the news again this week. And I was quite surprised because it's one of those things that it's like what I want to talk about is that we never get closure on this issue. And it's an issue that's always been close to my heart. And I wanted to have a sort of general ramble about it. I've touched on it before. I've touched on the sort of the racial aspects and the ethnic aspects to it all, the political aspects, and I'll probably touch on it again here. But what I think's sort of strange about it is that we never get full closure on this. So when there was this week, it's a new report into Rochdale or whatever it was. And I was thinking like we're back to this again, like this is coming up again now, like what is it? And it says this, well, there'll be a new report into some new town where it's been happening again. And then when it happens, you get all these headlines, and it's some of what you read is just utterly grotesque and sadistic and barbaric. And it dawns on you that this the evil has been imported into our countries against our will. We never wanted it. And then you work your way up into the sort of the corruption, the politics of it, the lies about it, the outright sort of contempt for working class white girls and white people in general, that all of this signifies. And I've touched on all of this many times before, but I just think it's strange because I to keep coming back to it as well, like is a thing in itself. Because I can honestly say these days there's a sort of meme about what radicalized you, and I can honestly say it was this issue of this abuse that English girls were facing by people that were brought in by the government. If like this is what activated me, because I thought it was morally repulsive. I thought it was most of everything, it was just a complete betrayal, and I still think that today. And I think I tend to go off for doing content and writing about things, and I'll go off on tangents, you know, like on the Substack. I just did a review of a fantasy novel, and you know, look at what's going on in the world, wider geopolitical things, civilizational trends. But I always keep coming back to this issue. It's as if it always keeps me grounded. It keeps me to, you know, these kind of grimy sort of streets in Yorkshire or England where it's not very nice. It's not very highfalutin. There's something seedy and horrible about the whole affair of it, and I think one of the reasons why that is because everything that went wrong in England, everything that's gone wrong in the English mindset and the English politics and English culture, the lack of religion, all of it comes together in this bundle around the grooming gang issues, and it results in like headlines of things which are being done to English girls, which is just absolutely grotesque, which should never be allowed to happen like this. And then when it does pop up as well, like you see the same lies and dishonesty from shit libs. You know, you see this squid ink that they've got this sort of spray around to take the bite off it, because it's something that the government, the politicians, the media. This issue doesn't heal over for them, and it doesn't heal over for like normal British people like me either, those who are aware and those who don't just kind of lie and not stare it straight in the face at what it actually is. As well as, I mean, especially in the earlier days, I've had dark thoughts, you know, dark thoughts about what should be done about this problem, very dark thoughts. I think most normal people have. Because it's not normal that you're expected to live with this. And this is kind of what I wanted to say. It's this wound. It's not normal that you're expected to live with an open wound like this that can never be allowed to heal, that it festers away year after year after year. And I think fundamentally what it is that it's the sense of something horrific having been done, which is wrong. It's like these girls, or we generally as a people, we never wanted this. We never asked for it, but we got it anyway. And you never get full closure on it. You never get the feeling that justice has been served. Make of that what you will, whatever that would be. I mean, some of them, the latest report, they're out on the streets wandering around, some of them already again. My own take on that is that the punishments would be far harsher than what I can say on YouTube. But leaving all of that aside, again, you can get dragged into these kind of thoughts of retribution, the thoughts that we never got full closure on this. You know, they never got removed from the country. Nobody actually stood up and explained exactly why this happened. And they can't do that either, because it reveals something, which is why it's difficult for the establishment as well, is because it reveals flaws in their own power structure and in their own the way of thinking. You know, these days you'll hear about this trope that comes out, like white privilege. If you have a look at what they actually mean by that, what they mean is that institutions have an inherent and sort of subconscious bias towards white people, towards Europeans. And you can see that in the case of the grooming guy, this was exposed as being complete and utter bullshit. It went all the other way. You know, there's this kind of sense that everybody involved was just this politically correct sort of communist or something. That's certainly that played a role in it when you look at these local councils and police forces. But fundamentally, all of them knew which way the wind was blowing. They knew that when they had to report on this or that particular crime happening, that white girls were the victims and that the perpetrators were Pakistani, brown, non-white men, essentially, because they're various backgrounds. They knew that that would be bad for their career. They knew which report would get them in trouble. They knew how to get a promotion. They knew what was going to hurt their Christmas bonus. You know, they knew fundamentally which side power was on, and it wasn't on the side of these English girls. And so you think, okay, why was that not the case? Why in England was power not instinctually on the side of English girls? Wouldn't that make more sense? And so what's revealed is that actually there's something truly repulsive and disgusting about the makeup of the establishment. It's there to work against the interests of the native people, while at the same time presenting itself as being this positive thing, as being politically neutral or whatever. So you got all of this kind of ugliness was revealed by the grooming gangs, and they never really know in power what to do about it. I mean, I think one of the reasons for these endless reports is because they want to study it and figure out what to do, but they can't. They don't know which way, how to actually deal with this. Because if they had dealt with it honestly, it would be the equivalent of being far right, because it would take what they would now see as being a far right solution to a problem which they imported. And so what I think is just horrible is this, like, sort of indifference, you know, and these lies. One of the things that power in England and Britain tells us as well is like that the crimes involving race are worse, much worse than all other crimes. And they've written that into law as well. And all of the people who say that day in, day out, they pick it up as all of these microaggressions. There's articles that Asian people don't feel comfortable going for a walk in the lake. So all of this crap. And we're told day after day after day, year after year after year, it's the simple mantra of the power structure that crimes which are racially motivated are the worst you can get. And then when it comes to the issue of the grooming gang, suddenly you'll find that that's not the case. Suddenly you'll find that they're telling you, well, you shouldn't be looking at it in racial terms. One of the prominent ones, Nazir Afar, some of them, it doesn't really matter, they all do this, where they'll try and say, well, it's a problem with men. It's a problem with the way men look at women. Or it's an issue of class, or it's an issue that these girls come from broken homes and all of these. So the point is that they're trying to brush the racial aspect under the rug. You know, they're trying to squirt squid ink in our faces, and come up with a different explanation of what was happening, which isn't rooted in race. Whereas for all of the other issues, everything that you can think of, yes, well, it's a racial issue. It's all a racial issue. They changed the law, you know, after Stephen Lawrence. They changed the laws and everything. It's hard baked into the power structure and on the media and in the education system and in every institution and NGO in the country that racial issues, racial crimes are the worst. They're more serious than everything else. But then all of a sudden you find that that just evaporates as a narrative when white girls are the victims because it's inconvenient, because they're revealing the preferences of power. If you like, their friends and enemies are being revealed. Another problem that I think they have with this issue, and that people have as well, is that you end up, there's things being revealed to my mind, about human nature, which are not particularly nice. They're certainly not liberal. There's a sort of gut reaction to this, which is primordial. Which in modernity, we're not supposed to have these thoughts. We're not supposed to think like that. We trust authorities. We trust the law. We trust the justice system. We also, especially the more liberal-minded people, is that we kind of trust out groups so that when they come into our spaces, they will behave with a modicum of respect. Or there's a kind of neoliberal mindset where everybody's just a consumer and a producer. All anybody wants to do is sort of feather their own nest and get ahead financially and enjoy the baubles and trinkets of globalism and this kind of thing. And what we see in an issue like the grooming issue is that it's just not the case. That underneath that kind of crust, the crust of globalism and this sort of idea of a mass man, the mass consumer man of globalism, like that's the veneer, that's the crust on the top. But when you sort of break through that and you see the reality of how down on these grimy streets people actually are, like in the real world, and how people actually interact with each other. It's not like that. It's not how it looks in the PR adverts on the World Economic Forum's website or on the YouTube ads that you get, where it's all this sort of multicolored kind of happy clappy. It's just, this is all just rubbish. The horrible, grotesque realities about the situation or what's revealed in the grooming sort of saga as well. You see the lie, you know, you see the lie exposed, the big lie. I mean, I remember I did a video on this subject years ago because I've always been fascinated by what happened with Chernobyl, and a video that I did about 5 years ago was where the Chernobyl disaster in the Soviet Union. Obviously, it was a terrible thing, but it had more sort of repercussions. Like ripples went throughout it, and fundamentally, I mean, Gorbachev said that was really where the Soviet Union died. But what he was getting at was that people lost faith in the system. They began to see that the amount of lies that they were told, and in the end, resulted in the structural flaws of a nuclear reactor. And it wasn't just that it was an accident. When you do an investigation and you keep going back and you keep discovering like more and more structural flaws and economic flaws, and then in the end, ideological flaws, the ideology that the whole power system is based upon is revealed to be trash, and incoherent. I would actually say in the same goes for the multicultural global globalism problem in Britain. And I think that's what this grooming issue does. And I think it's why it's also such a hot potato that never quite disappears and it keeps coming back. But on another level, I would say that the people in the Soviet Union at least eventually got some kind of closure from it. And this was what I think rankles people the most. It rankled a friend of mine who sent me a message about it the other day, where it's like this still goes on. This wound is still going on because you expect there's a kind of expectation on people that bad people will be punished, and when innocent people have been the victims of evil people, it may take a while, but sooner or later, right will triumph, and evil will be vanquished. And you sit back in this expectation of when will these people actually get their comeuppance? When will this wrong be put to right? And it never seems to emerge. It's again, it's just this like kind of wound which festers away, and we're not allowed to have that kind of catharsis. And I think this was the biggest problem people have with the with why in England, of all of the issues which come and go, and there's a lot to be angry about, this one in particular, you feel like you warrant and you deserve some kind of catharsis. Where finally this has been finally put to rights, and it never comes. It's like there's just another report and another shocking statistic about how many per year this is happening to, how many girls this is happening to each year. And it's dangerous to talk about because it, as I was saying before, it reveals something primordial in the human nature, which doesn't sit well in these liberal times. And there's been times where people have. British men have done crazy things, which kind of makes it all worse again. People will say, "Where is the reaction? Where is the backlash?" You know, and it's tried throughout the years. There's been attempts at it, but the system will put it down because it's the situation that we find ourselves in is wholly inorganic and unnatural. And I just wanted to sort of have a bit of a say about that because I feel like I'm not the only person who feels like that, who feels like when is this issue going to be finally put to bed and we can think, okay, that was horrible, but in the end, the guilty were punished properly. And I don't just mean the actual perpetrators. I mean, when you follow it through and you go all the way into the incentive structure of the system itself. Because that's also has to be fixed. But maybe one day we'll get somewhere with it. But in the meantime, we've just got to kind of nurse this wound, and then it'll slip slightly out of everybody's conscious, and then in a year or two down the line, we'll find that we're back here again. You know, I didn't expect to be making a video on it again. I thought, well, you know, it's a horrible time. I don't think they got the sentences. But even for me, it's like, well, there's a sense that I don't hear about that anymore. Did the, what were the, like, is there a kind of quiet technocratic solution being implemented, which is being kept out of the headlines or? And it turns out, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be. But I remember that it used to be more cases. Like I think it was like in 2014 and 2015, you just seem to get these endless cases of grooming gangs up and down the country, and then it just sort of disappeared. And you think, well, maybe they found a way to prevent it, or just keep it out of the newspapers, or and then it pops up again. You realize that, yeah, it's still a thing. The wound is still there. It's still going on. I mean, it's even difficult to wrap up a monologue like this. You want people are going to listen to it, and you want to send people away with a feeling of closure. That's when you do content, when you do a video, you don't want to send everybody off on a downer. But I can't, I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I could say, well, it'll be all right one day, but I don't know if it will. And that's the title of the video, the monologue. It just festers on and on, and we kind of just have to work with it in some way. But it'll never become a time when I just ignore this stuff, and I don't think anybody else should. Take care out there, everybody.